I believe that the time we're about to enter into is one of the most holy times for the church. Not to be entered into lightly whatsoever. We want tonight to read from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Like to preach with the help of God tonight on the Lord's table. Now I have found that He can prepare a table for you in the wilderness and in the presence of your enemies. But it sure is nice when He sets the table with your friends. And He's with us tonight. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse number 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this, that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest unto you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Number one, I believe in this time of the Lord's table, God has an expectation for you and I. He expects something in your life and in my life. He expects something. He's looking for something that should be there in this church tonight. The church at Corinth was a church that had believers in it. The church is the body of Christ, those that are believers in the Lord Jesus. And we do remember that in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, you as a church, you're saved, but you're too fleshly minded. What he's trying to say is, God has an expectation of any church that the church should be based upon the foundation and the principle of love. Pure, unfeigned, unconditional love. That's what He had for us when He died for us, and it's what He expects that we should have one for another. He said in verse 17, when you all come together for the Lord's Supper, He says, you're not coming for the better. You all get together for the worse. God help a church that would get together for the worse instead of trying to be made better. And He points out to them, He said, when you come together, you've got divisions amongst yourself. There's some people that you're divided against, you're at enmity with, they're a problem for you. And God said, that cannot be, that they're a division amongst the body. My friend, you can't partake of fellowship and of the Lord's table and be right with God and do so. And He has an expectation that there be no schism, that there be no division. I ask you tonight, how do you love one another? I'm not just talking about your closest friends and those that you get together with every Sunday after the service is over. I'm talking about those that you hardly pay any attention to anymore. Do you love them? Is there enmity and strife? Is there division in the house of God? Paul said, there was at the church at Corinth. And I can't but help wonder if there's division right here, what we call home at Bethel. He said, there's heresies among you. There's doctrines and there's that are wrong. And there's offenses that one holds grudges, one against another, and you won't forgive. We read in the prayer room in the book of Mark about that we ought to have faith in God. And if you had faith to say to the mountain, be thou removed, it'd be removed to the sea. But then on down in those verses, and I didn't read this to them, but it says, if you have aught, you ought to forgive. And if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. So he says, there is offenses, there's grudges amongst yourself, and you want to come together and partake of the Lord's table, but if you've got a hardness in your heart against the preacher, if you've got a hardness in your heart against your brother or sister, you're not worthy to partake of this table. I'm just trying to preach to you the truth. God has an expectation when we come together into this holy time. Then he says in verses 20 through 22, he said, when you come together into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You see, in that day and age, they would have a fellowship meal before they came to the church or before they came to the place of worship, the house of worship, before they'd partake of the table. They would have a fellowship dinner. You know, where it's potluck. You bring your meal, we bring our meal, we set it on a table, and we are to eat together and dine together. Partly they had problems because they got to overfilled. Amen. We do that a lot when we eat. Amen. But that's not the biggest problem he has here. He says, some of you is bringing your chicken and some of you brings some rice. And the ones that brings their chicken brings mashed potatoes and green beans and all this stuff and they won't share it with the one that just brought rice. And they look and say, you should have brought more for your family because this is all for us. That's greedy. You with me? They were stingy. Wouldn't share. In other words, they were looking out for self in their fellowship meal. And what happened was this person would remain hungry and would have hurt feelings towards this family over here. And this family over here would have hurt feelings toward anybody that come to take a leg of chicken off of their table. And they have broken fellowship. Now they're going to come together into the church, the house of worship, to partake of the Lord's table, that they might discern the Lord's body and have fellowship with God. But how in the world are they going to do that when they're mad at one another before they ever left the fellowship hall? That's what he's talking about. He said, "You, if you're going to come and do like that, don't do it at God's house. You've got houses. You can eat and drink there and be with your own kind and your own family. If you've not come to fellowship, if you've not come to share, if you've come to be greedy, if you've come to be stingy, do it at your house. Don't bring it to the house of God." I know some of you saying, praise God, we didn't have a fellowship dinner before we came over tonight. But I've not seen that at Bethel. I see you ladies and gentlemen come in and take the cover off the dishes and throw her down there and you don't care who gets what. At least, bless God, you better not be eyeing who gets what. Because if you are, God caught you red-handed tonight. You ought not to be jealous and envious one of another over meals. Amen? God has an expectation that you and I fellowship one with another, one with this person or with this person, and the same. Equal treatment. That's God's expectation. It is an expectation that is based upon the sound doctrine and the principle of love. We read it in the prayer room, now about us three. What are they? Faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. That is agapeo, love. That's what the church has got to be based on. God has an expectation that you and I come into this service tonight in fellowship with God, in fellowship with our neighbor, in fellowship with our brother and our sister in Christ. If we are not, we have a problem. Number two, we see not only the expectation, but we see the explanation. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Paul was writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he says, I was not there in the upper room that night when these events took place. But Jesus came by revelation to me and expressly told me that this is the way that the Lord's Supper, in this holy ordinance of the church, is to be handled. And he gives an explanation. Now remember, he says in verse 23, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Imagine, Jesus stood and gave thanks over that bread, which represents his body that's about to be broken. He gave thanks knowing that right at the door, there's going to come a knock, and one's going to come and take his life, basically. He's getting ready to be betrayed. However, sitting in that very same room with him, at that very same table with him, one who had his hand in the sup was one by the name of Judas, who is getting ready to betray him. And basically, as Jesus gave thanks, the betrayal was underway. Imagine giving thanks, getting ready to go right through the valley. Jesus does that. And his body, Jesus said, I am the living bread. I am the bread of life. And his body is going to be broken. And he breaks this bread, representing his body, which is broken for us. Now, some denominations believe in transubstantiation, meaning that this bread that's broken actually becomes the body of the Lord Jesus, and we partake of it physically. That's cannibalism. Transubstantiation is not possible. Don't happen. I want to say tonight that that bread is representative of his body, which we've been made a partaker of, that was broken for you and I. That cup represents the blood, represents the suffering which he was going to shed. It is also a covenant. In this, in taking this, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And he said, as oft as you do this, as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. I see three things there in explanation. I see a commemoration. He said we're to look back and remember. He said in verse 24 and in verse 25, this do in remembrance of me. It is a commemoration in that when we partake of this table, we are looking back some 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for our sins. It is a look back. It is a commemoration. But it's also a communion. If you commune with someone, that means it's present tense. You might say, where there are two or three gathered in my name, says the Lord, there am I in the midst. He's with us tonight. If time tarries and we're allowed to go through the remainder of this service, he'll be present and we're having communion with him, presently speaking. Then it also represents a commitment. It looks to the future where it says, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We're showing his death till he come. You know what? He is coming again. And we look to that. I think about the book of Matthew chapter 26 very quickly. Jesus being in that upper room. Kind of feel led to read this, even though we've seen it in 1 Corinthians. I want to look at that very night as they've gathered in the upper room. Verse 26 of Matthew 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup. And he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus said, I will not partake of this cup again until I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. He's coming again. And he's not going to drink that old bitter cup again, amen. Not going to sit down there at that old Lord's Supper again until we're with him in the kingdom. Glory to God for that, amen. Now I got to thinking about something out of the book of Luke chapter 24. And I believe that in Luke chapter 24, the two on the Emmaus Road, after Jesus was resurrected in a glorified body, I believe that right here is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the revelation of the Lord and of the fellowship with God, and maybe even, you might say, of something you might preach at the Lord's Supper. You know, how that he walked up to those two that were traveling on the Emmaus Road, and they didn't know who he was. And they were talking about how their Savior had died on a cross, and they were quite upset about it. And they were communing together, and verse number 24, certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. In other words, we've heard that our Savior is alive. And our fellow disciples went down there and checked it out, and they can't find the body. We can't figure out what's going on. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? There's suffering again, right? And at the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That must have been one more message. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. There was something about that bread that Jesus took and gave thanks and broke, gave it to them. Somehow caused them to get in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And they saw things they had never quite seen before. They discerned some things. But I do mind you tonight to note that even though there was bread there, he did not partake of the cup with them. For he could not. He had promised before his crucifixion, he said, I'll not drink this cup again until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And I wonder when he vanished out of their sight, I wonder if they went back to that night and said, wow, just like he said, just like he promised. One of these days, amen, some golden daybreak, amen, we're going to sit at the table. And the Bible says that he's going to gird himself. In other words, he's going to serve us. Why, he's already served us when he gave his life for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to serve him to the best of my ability. It's all I can do to bow before him and even behold and try to, I'm unworthy to loose his shoe latchet. Yet he's going to gird himself and he's going to serve us. And then we're going to have fellowship together at the Lord's table forever and ever, continually. What a blessing. This table tonight, it is a commitment. It says, hallelujah, we're wanting to discern the Lord's body. We're wanting to learn some things of Christ. We spoke this morning about how he reveals himself. And so many times as children, we miss it. I pray tonight we don't miss it. I pray there'd just be one person out of this whole bunch tonight. I wish everybody could, but if just one person could discern what the Lord's done for us in this, we'd have church because it'd run all over the rest of us and get contagious around here. They opened their eyes, and when their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight, They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he taught with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Sitting on the edge of their seat wanting to know more. What a blessing. They must not have been Baptists, amen? Because a good Baptist will burp at you and belch at you and tell you he's had enough. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul gives an explanation. God has an expectation. Verse 27, I see an examination. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Paul says, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, he says, you'd better make sure you're right with God and your fellow man before you partake of this holy table. For if you continue in division and out of fellowship and with contention and strife and go ahead with this, he says, there will be a judgment, a chastisement. There will be some that are made weak. There are some that are made sick. There are some that God makes to sleep. In other words, they die. I wonder if in our graveyards across this nation, if there are literally folks that partook of this and it almost became blasphemous and God killed them or put them in a hospital. You may say, preacher, I do not think that such a thing would happen. Maybe somebody tonight might watch me. I ask that you not watch your neighbor tonight. Preacher, what do you mean? Listen, if there is something in your heart and only you and the Holy Ghost can search through it, that better be fessed up to, you better examine yourself. Don't be careless and enter into this time lightly. There ought to be a time of examination. I don't think I've ever done the Lord's Supper that I didn't give someone an opportunity to make things right between them and the Savior. Between them and maybe something I need to tell to God about something they need to get right with. Because I don't want any one of you to suffer because you were careless or because you were not warned from the pulpit that we ought to examine ourselves. Don't examine your neighbor. Examine yourself. A lot of stories I could tell right there that come to my mind of things that scare me literally to death. But I'm going to trust that you'll take the warning and you'll examine yourself tonight. Fourthly and last of all, I see in verses 31 through 32, I see extrication. To extricate is to release or to free. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. In other words, if we must acknowledge tonight sin in our life, you better acknowledge that before God and run to Him. Because if you judge yourself, He won't judge you. In other words, if you would say, yes, there is division. Yes, there is contention. Yes, there is a grudge. Yes, there is strife. And I do need to acknowledge that and confess that and repent of that and let it go, you better do so in an old-fashioned altar. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, hallelujah, from all unrighteousness. That when we come this altar and bow before the throne of God and cast ourselves under our sin, under the blood of Jesus, and judge ourselves, we won't be judged will be forgiven. When we are forgiven and sin is under the blood, that's what allows us to be worthy to commemorate, to commune, and to commit to our Lord Jesus Christ and have fellowship and discern His body at the table of the Lord. But if you decide tonight, well, I'll take my chances. You want to play games with God. You do it on your own recognizance. Because I've warned you tonight. For He says, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. In other words, when the sickness comes, you'll know who sent it and why it came. Hello? In other words, He said that we should not be condemned or judged with the world. God's not going to judge the believers with the world. No. My sins were judged at the cross. I'll not stand in a day of judgment over the sin question. That's been dealt with, amen. I'll stand in judgment about the eternal life He gave me and what I did with it. Right or wrong, how I squandered it, amen. The sinners will stand the great white judgment with the sin question, but the believers won't. You will not be judged together. And God said, if you decide to harden your neck, and I've tried to reprove you and try to straighten some things out in your life and tell you to examine yourself that you might extricate yourself, and you won't, then I'll deal with you individually. Well, preacher, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just sit here and I'll cross my arms and I'll close my eyes. And I'm not going that altar, bless God, because I'm mad and I have a right to be mad. I'm just going to sit here, and when they get ready to pass this out, I'm just going to close my eyes and pretend like I'm not here and let it go right by me. That would be safer than partaking of this unworthily. But even at best, it is not advisable, because God's still going to deal with your hard heart. You better just go ahead and get it out of the way tonight. Friend, if you'd stand with me tonight, I'm not going to ask the piano to play. I'm not going to ask the organ to play. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and just be holy before God. Just bow your head. Bow your head. I do not know your heart. I do not know your life. And I'm glad for that tonight. But if there is something that you know that God is displeased with, you'd better run to this altar. And don't come down here and say, if. Just come down here and say, Lord, You got me. And I want to get right about this. And I want to tell You. And I want to confess it. And I want to repent of it. And I want to be clean before God before I partake of this. Many are coming. Praise the Lord. Come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to be right with You. So very right with You. I don't want one sin to hinder my fellowship with You tonight. I don't want to meet judgment. I don't want to meet chastisement. I want to be holy before God. And the only way that I'll get it is to tell Him I've done wrong. I've sinned. And confess that to Him. And please, don't just come down here and say, Lord, if I've sinned. No. Say to Him, Lord, where I sinned. And tell Him what it is. I believe if you know tonight, you can just be specific and say, boy, I throwed something. I'm mad at somebody. I need to get over that. God, help me with it. Lord, we bow on our knees tonight and we yield our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the holy time You've allowed us tonight to enter into Your house and offer praises unto Your name and lift up many prayers and prayer requests and look in the Word of God and see the challenge that Paul gave to the Corinthian church that speaks right to our individual hearts tonight, God, that we see that You have an expectation from this church, from me as an individual. And God, I tonight do not measure up to Your standard. Forgive me. Lord, tonight we see the explanation about the bread and the cup Paul gave, and we are, as we take of this Lord's table tonight, showing the Lord's death till He comes. Praise the Lord for it. But God, tonight we are in a time of examination. We look at our own heart.
We never want to look at the heart of our brother or sister. God, we look at ourselves. God, we do not want to partake of this table tonight unworthily. Lord, I want you to know that I love each of these folks. God, I thank you for each one. I pray, God, if there's one here, God, that's got hurt feelings towards me, that God, they'd forgive me. God, that I'd be right with you, with my fellowship with you, my relationship with you, and my relationship with my fellow man. But Lord, if it's there, I don't know about it. Anything fall that I've not tried to clear before now. And I pray, God, you'd help me to examine, Father, to know, Lord, if I've hurt somebody and I don't know about it, God, I pray, Father, you'd forgive me of that. Lord, tonight we pray, God, that you'd help us to be extricated by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, you'd forgive us. Lord, that verse again. If we confess our sins, Lord, we are sinners. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. Thank you, God, for providing a way that when we mess up, just as we always do, we can tell you specifically about it, and you wipe the slate clean and forgive us of that. It's done away with. Oh, we may remember it, but you don't. It's done away with. Cast behind your back in the sea of forgiveness as far as the east is from the west. Glory to God for that. I pray tonight, God, for this congregation, that we'd be right with you. There'd be nothing to hinder. I pray, God, you'd do the spectacular, the divine, the miraculous. I pray, God, you'd help us tonight to have fellowship, sweet communion, sweet commemoration, sweet commitment with you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.